you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here end the lessons for today.
Maybe not today? Okay. What do you see all along this wall? What do you guys Can you do me a favor? We see words. Luke, I know you're a great reader because I've heard you. Can you read this for me?
God says, let there be light.
And do you know this word? No, this word is Genesis. Do you know where we find this? Where do you think we find these words?
In the Bible.
You're so smart. You knew it right away. That was great.
I know that.
You knew that? Well, do you know why we have all of these up here? Children of preschool are getting ready to go off to kindergarten. It's too bad Ellie's not here. She's one of those little ones in our preschool. But each of these, well, we're not going to do all of them, but yes, each of these is a different month. Yeah, read this one for me. Good. So each of these was a different verse that we read. Come on, follow me down here. For each of the different months, and I bet Jack might be able to do this one. Jack, can you do this one?
Jesus Christ, you call us to be your witnesses. We pray that we would be bold in our proclamation that you are not here, but you are risen, and we are the ones who embody your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when?
I heard somebody else say the end of it. Yeah, do you know where that's from? Do you know who said that? Any guesses?
Oh,
Well, it's been attributed to many people. Most recently, the actress Emma Watson from Harry Potter fame. Spoiler, it wasn't her. Before that, it was attributed to President Ronald Reagan. Before that, attributed to candidate Robert F. Kennedy. So we get kind of all the political spectrums and actors and whoever else picks it up and puts it on their Twitter handle. But really, this was, as far as I can tell, as far as internet searching will allow me, attributed to somebody named Rabbi Hillel the Elder, who existed about 100 years before Jesus. So I heard somebody say back to me, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? So I think it's fair to say that this phrase has some legs. Truthfully, they think that what he said, this rabbi of the time, he was one who often said phrases or maxims that kind of stood out. And it sounded like what he more likely said was, if I am not for myself, then who will be for me? And if I am only for myself, then what am I? And if not now, when? I think that this maxim is one that is used as a response to just about every complainer and procrastinator, which I think most of us will fall into one of those categories from time to time, if not both of them, all the time. I know that the last time I actually used this, I have two examples of when I've used this in the last year, and they're both with young people. Maybe it's because I'm bolder saying it to younger people than people who are my elders. But I remember the first time was a young adult, and this was after the fire in the Notre Dame Cathedral. Do you remember that horrible tragedy? And immediately so much money was raised to help rebuild it and refund it. And like a good young millennial, she came up to me and said what she had read and heard on the internet, you know, if we were able to raise money that fast for the Notre Dame Cathedral, why can't we raise money that fast for homelessness and hunger in our world? We'd be able to feed everyone in the world. And I said, that's a good point. What do you have to give? And she says, oh no, not me. I'm a young adult, I don't have any money. I said, do you have a quarter? She said, well, yeah. And I said to her, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? You see, her point was not wrong. Her point was a great point. What if we could all bond together to raise money that quickly and that fast for hungry people in the world? We wouldn't have hunger. And yet, she was leery about jumping in on that herself. No, no, not me. Not me, not now. Maybe me later, when I have more money, when I have a stable job, maybe that's when I can be that person. The other time I used this phrase recently was with our confirmation students. We were talking about gossiping and bullying. And we talked about bullies, and one of our students says, oh, well, yeah, I don't bully other people. I'm very, you know, I notice it, and I don't pick on somebody who's being picked on by other people. I said, good. Do you tell the bully not to pick on this person who's being picked on? I said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. I mean, not now. And I said, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? Because to a 13-year-old, one of the scariest things in the world is being on the outside. I think it's important for us to hear this phrase in our readings today. And the very first reading that Joellen read and the gospel reading that I read actually go together. Luke and Acts are thought of really as two volumes of the same book. The same reader, or the same writer, wrote both of them. First the writer, the gospel writer of Luke, wrote the gospel and then followed it up with the gospel of Acts. In fact, the very first line of the book of Acts says, in the first book, and he's referring to Luke. So it's these two stories that happen upon a tipping point. The Gospel of Luke ends with the ascension, and then the story of Acts starts with that ascension. So we're right here at this tipping point We're here at the tipping point in this story where it goes from being the story about Jesus to being the story about Jesus' believers. We have heard the story about how Jesus preaches and teaches and heals. We've heard the story of his death and resurrection and now his ascension. And we're at that moment where the story now moves to the big question asked to all of us. So what are you going to do about it? This is where Acts, the book of Acts, starts. So what are you going to do about it? And I love this line in Acts at verse 10. It says, all of the disciples who were there, who had heard Jesus teaching and preaching, they saw him ascend. And then it says, while he was going up, they were gazing up towards the heavens. I can just imagine all the disciples standing around looking at Jesus ascending. Probably a little more majesty than my Huggy Jesus doll taped to the wall back there. But as Jesus was ascending, I wonder what those first disciples were thinking. They were probably thinking, Jesus Christ taught with us and walked with us. And then Jesus Christ died in front of us. And then Jesus Christ came back to life. And now Jesus Christ has left. And they're standing there thinking, well, now what? I wonder if they were thinking, this is the Messiah. Well, surely he has done all these majesty, all these magical and mystical and amazing miracles. So clearly he's going to send his Messiah back down to spread the word. This advocate that he's going to send to us, this Holy Spirit that he talks about, that will be the witness. That Holy Spirit, that will be the one. So let's keep our eyes peeled for this advocate who's on his way. And as they're standing there, gazing up, we hear these words. Suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, and they said, men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up towards heaven? Why are you standing looking up towards heaven? And I can imagine the disciples saying, well, Jesus, he's going to come back. You see, he's the Messiah. He's the ruler of all. Don't you worry. He said he's going to send an advocate. We're just waiting on him. And these two men dressed in white robes, why do you stand looking up toward the heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you saw him taken into heaven. You now are those witnesses. You now are those ones to share the good news. And I can imagine that those disciples argued, but wait, not us. You see, he's sending us a gift from the Father. We're just fishermen. We can't be the advocates. No, I'm sure someone else will come to share Christ's message of peace and love and oh, me? Wait, me? Are you sure? No, not me. I'm not ready. And I imagine the angels saying, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? How many times do we say that? Jesus says, tell the world about me so that they might have life and life abundantly. And we reply, oh no, not me. Somebody else has a better story to tell than me. And I know some of you have said this because when Vicar Maria has asked many people if they want to share their video, they say, oh no, not me. I don't have a story to tell. And I'm not excluded from this. I am not excluded from this. I know that I have told my story of faith many, many times as part of being a pastor. But when I was studying engineering, civil engineering, firmly believing in the priesthood of all believers, I stood there looking at those people who affirmed me and said, you should consider ministry. And to that still small voice inside me saying, you should consider going into ministry. And I said, no, 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 not me. God made a mistake. Jesus wouldn't ask me. You see, no one wants to hear my story of Jesus. And I have to believe that it was angels in human forms that said to me, Kate from Minnesota, why do you stand looking towards heaven?
You are that witness. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? Being witnesses and evangelists is something that Lutherans traditionally are not great at. We tend to like to leave that up to others. Those other folks, they'll tell folks about Jesus. But what if those others' witness is a profession of the God of hate, of a savior of oppression, or of a Holy Spirit of condemnation? Can we really then wait for someone else to share the story of our Lord? If not you, then who? If not now, then when? And so, good people of Emmanuel, what is your witness of Jesus Christ? Amen.